Okay, dear friends, if you go and look at the guests banner at the top left side of the homepage, you'll see it right there. Click on tonight's guests, and you'll see our guest this hour is Eric Carlstrom, Professor Emeritus, an extraordinary mind who has become really, I think, the most knowledgeable source of information in the field of targeted individuals, all manner of psychological and electromagnetic frequency, warfare on people, and probably other disciplines that we don't even talk about. I think that they have technologies that come right through the screen and can impact and affect people, whatever screen you're looking at, if you're hooked up to any kind of a commercial product. I wouldn't be surprised if they're actually encoding and embedding things into popular movie DVDs now. So when you watch that, you're getting instructions embedded into your subconscious. I don't trust any of it. I think it's completely over the top. I think AI is going to be used for good and for very bad things. And there's nothing that's going to be done about it. It's just here. It's a fact of life now. And it may be the end of the line for a lot of people on this planet, just the AI portion of things. They're losing jobs by the millions, as you know. And it depends on whose hands it's in. It depends on who's controlling it. That's, who do you trust out there? I know who not to trust. There are an awful lot of satanic people out there in positions of incredible power and discipline. They know. Hello, Eric. Welcome back.
Yeah, good evening, Jeff. It's good to be with you again. And what you say is on the mark. Perhaps the Amish are getting a lot of applications these days. Yeah. You know, we could go back to our Luddite roots, you know, and just opt out of this AI
that
system.
That would be, actually, there's some appeal to that. I agree.
Yeah, but you know what you said about me being this expert. Well, of course, I'm on the receiving end of the targeted individual program. Well, I assume there are experts on the other side who are dishing it out that are, you know, far more knowledgeable than I am. So all the targeted individuals are, you know, really scrambling to understand the system so that they can survive. I mean, this is a soft kill program. This is a cleverly disguised program of torture and murder, according to Mark M. Rich. And he's got a couple of books, one called The Hidden Evil, The Financial Elite's Covert War Against the Domestic Population. And they're farming out kill contracts on American citizens. So they're the real terrorists. The government is the real terrorists, and the people are the freedom fighters. And of course, all of this gets turned upside down in the media to keep us all very, very, very confused. But yeah, this is a time when the totalitarian Stasi police state of East Germany, or the Gestapo of the Nazis, or
I think we've already exceeded those, and we're on the verge of breaking into an entire new paradigm of total subjugation over the masses, the surviving masses, I probably should add.
Yeah, that's certainly the goal, is bio-robots enslavement. And, of course, the TIs, including myself, I think, are the guinea pigs for that system. And they're very ambitious. I think the satanic elite wants immortality for themselves, and they want biorobot cyborg enslavement for everybody else, the people that they don't do with altogether. And so we really are up against a very, very dark satanic group. I long ago came to the conclusion, based on my own experience as a TI, that the people that were stalking me, that, you know, I meet on a regular basis, of course, from all walks of life. We have basically, you know, this is a new secret police, the gangstalkers, and it's they're everywhere. You know, there's millions of them. So this is coming out of the FBI, the DHS, and the police departments. And so our society is completely corrupted now, so that individuals are, you know, coerced or paid or bribed or whatever to become these eyes and ears of the state, like as in the Stasi. And, you know, these surveillance role players, they call them crisis actors or spotters or trackers who are, you know, making money by tracking their fellow Americans. And, of course, they're told, you know, that we are, you know, whatever, pedophiles or prostitutes or drug dealers or something, which is totally ironic because that's generally what they are. This is a vast system. And unfortunately, it's a for-profit system, and it's growing. To understand it for a targeted individual, and I think for the rest of us, is to have a leg up in understanding what kind of system we're actually living under, and how perhaps to survive it. Here's what A.K. Forward says in his book. He's got a book on the self-destruction of society through community spy networks. He's got an article here, The Network, A Look Inside the Targeting System. He says the network, now this, of course, includes the police, your sheriffs. Every one of these guys are in on this. Every one of them. They know about this. Everybody in the FBI, all the Congress people know about this, and they're all gaslighting us. It's not happening. But anyway, he says the network, and some call it the National Security Racketeering Network, the network is open-ended so that it's capable of unlimited expansion and can encompass any number of individuals and groups into itself for any number of purposes. It is intended eventually every person on the planet will be included within its database, either as a member, that is a perpetrator, or as a targeted individual, predator or prey, and will be under constant watch and direction. So this very clever individual, A.K. Forward, is saying that the people who sign up for this are also being surveilled, and many TIs like Dr. Ronnie Kilda have noticed that these people are going downhill faster than the TIs themselves, because they're under strict code of silence. If they break silence and they tell a TI, a targeted individual, what they're doing, they can be killed. So this is a no-nonsense thing. This is a demonic system. And again, the conclusion I've come to based on my experiences, so many of my perps, the flying monkeys, the goons on the ground, the fake people spies, like in the Truman Show, so many of them are in, I think, interlocking satanic cults.
Oh, I agree. These people are all dirty. Yeah.
Very satanic. You have to get off on it. You do it every day, you know. This becomes a way of life for these people.
Well, they're sadistic. They're awful people. Awful.
Yeah, so, I mean, these are our fellow Americans. You know, this does not belong.
They're not fellow Americans. They don't belong in this country, nor does the government for the most part. It's not our government. It should all be ejected, all of them, out of here. We've lost. I don't want to give up, but I have to face reality. We've lost our representative form of government. We've lost our constitutional republic. It's not there. We have been taken over by international Zionist Bolshevik, believe me, communists. That's who's running the planet, and they thrive on pedophilia, perversion, and criminality. That's who's running the country.
I totally agree. You know, Christopher Story, a.k.a. Edward Harle, who wrote the...
I used to have him on. Yeah, I know him.
Really? Very, very, very brilliant Cambridge-educated British guy who was a reporter and an economist. You know, he said, you know, of course, he's got these big, big, fat books trying to figure out what's going on like everybody else, and just tons of data in there. And he calls them Zionazis. And I think that's a pretty good name as well, you know, because...
Good turnaround. I agree.
Yeah. It's very confusing. Is you put those words together because they're supposed to be, you know, the Jews hate the Germans hated the Jews. But in fact, if you look a little bit deeper, you see that it's really the same racial supremacy satanic cult, you know, worshiping Moloch. You know, we have to, as a society, we have to say, hey, you know, are we willing to go down this road with these with these devils. Of course, they're very clever at fooling us and controlling our minds and, you know, psyops and propaganda. But I think, I hope, you know, pray that people are starting to wake up. It really depends on the, you know, the timing, the critical mass, so many factors. Actually, I'm kind of surprised, Jeff, we're still on the air, you know. A few years ago, we were talking about these things, and it looked horrible.
We were right on the edge, for sure.
Yeah.
Best place to be. Yeah.
Right on the edge, yeah. But to show how long this has been going on, this is the Jew and High Mason Crémieux, 1860, who's the founder and president of this is French, I'll butcher it, L'Alliance Israélite Universelle, or something like that. In 1860, said the net which Israel now casts over the terrestrial globe enlarges and extends. Our power is immense. Learn to turn that power to our cause. The day is not far distant when all the riches, all the treasures of the earth will become the property of the children of Israel.
Uh-huh.
That's pretty revealing for, you know, 150-some years ago, 160 years ago.
Well, so, look, the plan has been extant for a long time. And look where they are now. I don't want to completely digress and jump off the rails here, but Ukraine was targeted, I believe, by international Bolshevik Zionism. I believe that. I think communists want it. They used very cleverly the Nazi label to try to make it seem like the Ukrainians were still Nazis. No, the Ukrainian government was overthrown and then replaced with Zionist Bolshevik communists. They used the Nazi label to deflect attention from who they were and what their agenda is. They are trying, in my humble opinion, to loot that country, which they've already done to a large degree, to literally empty much of the populace from the country, 10 million have already left, and turn it into, ultimately, a new haven for international Zionist Jews. They are making it what they talked about, the new Greater Israel. That's what they're doing. How else are they operating in that regard? They're killing off hundreds of thousands of young men, Christian men, in the Ukrainian military, being thrown to certain death against the Russians along the line of contact. And they're trying to get rid of these people because they might be potentially able to stand up and eject, and overthrow the communist regime that has taken control of their country. So they're killing these people off. 10 million have left. Think about it. And on the other side of that coin, what else has this Zionist war in Ukraine done? It has pulled the U.S. in, ordered the U.S. in, NATO in, but what they're doing is literally, think about it, disarming the United States. We've lost so much of our equipment. We're 5 years to 6 years behind in the replacement of tank rounds and artillery shells. 5 to 6 years. In other words, we couldn't fight a defensive war if we were invaded. Couldn't do it. They did the same thing to much of Europe. They're running short on ammo supplies, on armor supplies. They did no more tanks available. APCs are being just blown up as fast as they can put them on the battlefield. So the disarming of the West, the draining of Ukraine financially, and the literally expunging of Christian Ukraine in favor of something that's going to be far different in the very near future. And I hope that made sense. That's just my take after watching this all very, very carefully.
Yeah, and of course I agree. And you know, our country has been really under the kind of political bullying guidance of the neoconservatives for the last 50 years. And this, and of course, this is a Jewish think tank, the neoconservatives, quote unquote, which actually come from Trotskyite communists, you know, back in the 60s and 50s and 40s. But the, you know, and this Victoria Nuland and all these people who set the stage for the 2013 coup in Ukraine, still very much in the pilot seat in terms of calling the shots. And so you're absolutely right. This is a This is a Zionist effort all the way. And it's a good example, I think, also of this term Zionazis, because although Zelensky is himself is Jewish, and he's, you know, responding to international Jewry, you know, as a puppet, but the people he's commanding, the, you know, there's so many neo-Nazis there. So here you have this this kind of teaming up of the Nazis and the Jews, and it's just a hellhole, and I feel so sorry for the people in Ukraine. Now, we perhaps, you know, just point out, this is one of the tremendous breadbaskets of the world, and the people there are Christian, and they're great farmers, with a very, very fertile soil, perfect climate for agriculture, and they have gone through so much hell over the last 100 years because of that, because of their juxtaposition between Germany and Russia. The Holodomor, starving, you know, upwards of 10 to 20 million people.
You know, nobody even knows what the Holodomor is. Some of our listeners do, but most don't. It's a sad fact. History has been so obfuscated and dismembered that there are just pieces floating around. The Holodomor was another a true Holocaust. All right, there's so much going on. What, in my view, is happening in Ukraine right now is another Holocaust against Christians. Christian men of all ages who are forced into the military, and there may be up to 400,000 who have been liquidated, killed, slaughtered, butchered, blown to 100,000 pieces by artillery rounds, and then had their corpses looted for their vital organs, which are being sold off all over the world. Big business. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. It's horrific what's happening over there. But, you know, if we look at the Holodomor, it was at the same time as the Great Depression in the United States in the early 30s. And it was completely due to administrative edicts from, you know, the Soviet government, from Stalin. And it was quite deliberate to starve them out. And they had all these, you know, collectives and whatnot. And they made a bunch of rules that made it impossible for these farmers to right. eat anything. Of course, they exported the actual foodstuffs elsewhere. And those people were literally starving in the street. But we had a mirror of that over here. With the Great Depression, which was also extremely severe, but not nearly as much. And I would kind of draw the comparison. Okay, yes, we have a Holocaust going on over there now, but we also have one here, Jeff. With, as you know, with all these things coming down, you know, at the same time, with the COVID bioweapon. And certainly the persecution of the Christian church and the persecution of children with the sex changes, et cetera.
The butchery of children. The butchery of children. This is war on children and childhood and innocence and happiness. This is pure satanic evil, the blackest evil.
Yes, it is. And so, again, we have to look again to kind of a global plan happening, you know, the globalist, quote-unquote, forces, again, under satanic control, with a big plan. And it's not that any area really is spared. They want to bring us all into this and bring us into, you know, Bill Gates' 060606 patent, which is, you know, full enslavement with cryptocurrency and body measurements, as it's in the subtitle of this program this evening, and it's also on my website. To have this article, you may have posted it. Bill Gates' total enslavement patent 060606.
Oh yeah, I've got it. It's right under your name. Yeah.
Great. Cryptocurrency system using body activity data. Okay, this is what Yuval Noah Harari is talking about when he says surveillance under the skin, because with the nanotech in your body and/or you know, from the shots or from the implants of Neuralink or whatever, there's a whole bunch of ways they can get this self-assembling nanotech in your body, then with electromagnetic frequencies, 5G, 6G, they can set up a network whereby your body functions, your brain functions, and your activities become transparent to them, and all, of course, recorded in their, you know, Pentagon cloud. And then those who are not following orders, doing the right thing, being a good slave, can easily be turned off electromagnetically from the system. So what they really have the technology now to bring us into this total enslavement system. And of course, we outnumber them on a tremendous rate. But unless we educate ourselves about what these people have in mind for us and figure out how to, of course, with the help of God, I mean, pray to God, but keep rowing to shore. Meanwhile, we have to help each other to come out of this. And, this really is the world on the ropes, as the title of this program says. I mean, this is a moment in not only human history, but in planetary history, because in which so much depends. Because these maniacs, and I do consider them Satanists, very smart scientists, or they use very smart scientists, they say, okay, well, now we're in charge of evolution. We've had four and a half billion years of natural evolution, and it's worked pretty good to bring us some amazing beauty. And, if you're religious, humans are the crowning achievement of God and the crown of his creation, and made in the image of God. But these people hate humans, and they want to move us right out of this human, natural carbon-based world into a silicon world. They want to reimagine the world. That's tikkun olam in the Hebrew, reinvent the world. And this is what they're doing. Klaus Schwab, Yuval Noah Harari, they're reinventing the world so they can be gods and we can be their slaves. And this, of course, has been their program for a long, long time. But now they have the technology. And, it's very complex. Let us hope. A coronal mass ejection or something to knock out the electronics. Let us hope, nature bats last and comes in and thwarts these demonic people. Of course, Jesus may arrive pretty soon, too, because we're very close to the cusp of where people will want to die but not be able to, because they can turn off the death gene if they want to. They talk about that. They're messing with people's DNA on a wholesale basis. As you hear about the Jason Group splicing human and Nephilim DNA, all kinds of creatures. So they're moving us out of God's creation into Satan's. And I don't think anybody's going to be very happy for very long in this system. Satan usually... No. From what I understand, he's not very loyal even to his minions. He's going to take advantage of everybody. I've rambled, so please interject.
No, you're fine, and I agree. I think where we're going is not a pretty place. Hold on, we have to take a break. We'll come right back with Professor Eric Carlstrom after this. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Professor Emeritus Eric Carlstrom and learning more things all the time. Look, this whole TI thing, it's funny. The overlay is similar to what's been done to humanity by way of these bioweapon injections. This is a similar kind of thing. They're all about, with TIs, destroying people's lives. And they're all about, with the injections, of ending people's lives. Is similar in thought and deed. It's crazy out there. So I don't know how many people are going to be around in a year or two, Eric, for TI tech to be deployed against. I'm not being facetious. I don't know. We're looking at a potential massive die-off here in the next year and a half. That's how bad it is.
Yeah. I don't know what your current understanding is on this, Jeff. I was listening to Alex Jones, who has come to the opinion that different kinds of shots were given out, many placebos for the people, of course, that they don't want to hurt. And I'm assuming that they're keeping track.
Where's the proof? Come on.
I don't know. Okay, here's
nice
what he
talk.
Said.
Placebo, where's the proof?
Placebos and kind of a mild version and then a strong version. And if that's the case, then I would assume that they're keeping lists of people that they want to take out. So
they did not register. They didn't register anyone by name, other than just to check their ID. Gave them the shot. You're on your way. This happened all day long at those drive-in things. Walk-ins, doesn't matter. Boom. They were not tracking. I'd like to see a document that proves there were placebos given. I have not seen it.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm at a loss.
It'd be nice. Hey, I'm not against it. Great, let's hope. But when you talk about giving people 5 and 6 shots and they get 1 placebo, what the hell difference does it make? They're not tracking people and making sure all 5 shots they got are placebos. No, it wasn't done.
Well, I think they are tracking, you know, who's got the shot, right, and who hasn't got the shot.
No. We have reason to believe that that is not necessarily the case.
Well, if I go to my doctor, he's going to ask me if I've had the shot, right?
He's going to try and give it to you, unless he's an enlightened, kind human being. Yeah.
No, I think that they do record that information, and then it goes to the, you know, I think that where they overlap, the TI program and, of course, this biomedical tyranny, is, you know, in a tremendous, we're in a data bank society. I think they have tremendous records, and they have blacklists. And, of course, the terrorism screening database is the blacklist that, you know, is one of the main ones that would put people on the targeted individual program. I think that, you know, there are political enemies, for instance, people who are not getting in line, not saying the right things, that get on this blacklist, of course. And, you know, many,
like
many
you
other
and I.
Yeah, right. People who are perhaps, you know, saying things that are not appreciated by the oligarchy, by the pedophocracy, whatever you want to call it, the satanic leaders. This can be an expanding system.
Let me offer something else here. In the documents, 50,000 pages or more that were supposed to remain hidden for 75 years that Pfizer had, I have come across no reference to any placebos, placebo tracking, and we do know, we're in total agreement on the fact that the surveillance and the tracking of human beings has never been more complete and is about to become absolute, not just complete. When they roll out the global ID, the world ID, you don't have it, you don't do anything, and that's the truth. So I don't know. I'd like to think that there were placebos given. I don't buy it. Not when you have 4 and 5 shots per person and new boosters coming out, which make those people, each and every one of them, shed like a sponge being wrung out. It's crazy. So I think it was just a shotgun approach, and I'm sure there were defective batches. I have no doubt about that. But as far as an organized campaign of placebos, not one document has been pointed to in that treasure trove from Pfizer that would suggest that that's true. Not that I've seen. So I can only tell you what I know, and what I know is there's no proof.
Yeah.
Not that I've seen.
Well, I was just looking up the Holodomor.
Holodomor. Let me say one. May I? I just want to say one other thing. Okay. Somebody goes in and gets shot number one. It's a placebo. Great. Are you telling me, not you, I'm speaking rhetorically, are people saying that that person is tracked and the next 5 shots, 4 shots they got are also all placebos to evaluate what happens to those people? I doubt it with a virtually complete conviction. I don't see it happening. No, they go to different locations, different doctors in many cases, different shot lots, different batches, and these boosters are just dreadful. So I can't see it. I wish I could. I cannot. Go ahead.
Well,
sorry.
The fact so many, yeah, the fact that so many people are not dropping over dead kind of gives me the hunch.
Well, that doesn't mean they're not percolating their own demise right now. It takes time. Everybody's got a different fuse depending upon their immunological competence and how many shots they've taken, et cetera, et cetera. So they've designed this to be all over the map with dozens of different causes of death that they can use to put on someone's death certificate when they've been killed by these shots. It's very, very well thought out, this whole thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've talked before about the government claiming that they control the cognitive infrastructure. So I would just kind of gut level assume that there are people in positions of influence that they want to keep alive. In other words, there would be some selectivity about you know, the individuals that would be.
That's fair enough. I'll go along with that. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the people. And again, this is just totally gut level on my part. My family, nobody's come down with anything. And they, you know, university professor here, university professor there. I would assume.
How many shots?
That I'm not even sure. But I would assume that if anybody's getting placebos, those guys are. But we'll see. I mean, we're in new territory here.
I think most of your Washington, D.C. Yeah. career politician criminals can pretty much count on the fact that they got dummies. They're not dying. You notice how interesting that is?
Yeah, but, you know, when I was looking at the Holodomor, if you don't mind returning to that
please,
for just a second.
Please,
because it means murder by starvation. And, of course, we're seeing this famine,
yep.
Murder by famine, or death by famine. And, of course, 7 to 10 million Ukrainians died in 1932 to 1933 by right. Soviet edicts under Stalin and people like Kaganovich and whatnot. But they had a blacklist system, and this is what I wanted to tie in. It was formalized in 1932, and you know, they would put certain farms and villages and individuals on this blacklist. And they would, you know, close the stores, confiscate the grain supplies under the name of collectivization, et cetera. But they crushed one of the most self-sufficient, agriculturally self-sufficient areas in the world, again, by kind of political means, and created a Holocaust. I mean, even if you believe the 6 million dying in Germany, which I think is impossible, they outdid it in the Holodomor in Ukraine in 1932 and 1933. And this brings up another little vignette story I'll tell. There was a YouTube, which was quite almost amusing, which showed Abe Foxman of course, the ADL, with his entourage, walking into a room in Ukraine of politicians, and mm-hmm. he is making the case. Now, you know, let's make an agreement. Let's agree. Don't push the genocide. Don't push the Holocaust angle of the Holodomor. Okay, because that's ours. You see, and
you're right.
It's sure. PR. And he wanted to make sure that the Holocaust was not upstaged by a larger Holocaust, which actually happened. And he was able to get some agreements from these people. And that little YouTube was very, very interesting, but it disappeared relatively quickly. Mm-hmm. But it shows kind of the rear guard action that's always in play when you're trying to, you know, stake out the ground as the world's greatest victims. You have to make sure there's no other greater victims out there. And that's what they were doing.
That's one of their biggest bedrock revenue generators. In fact, one of the biggest, some people call it a shakedown in history,
yeah.
modern history.
Right.
And
yeah.
there's a lot to be said for that argument. I leave it up to you to make your own decisions, all of you, but no takers here. No.
But certainly the skids are being greased for a Holodomor here. I mean, we've seen all the
oh, you know, yes.
All the, you know, all the, you know, fertilizer being radically cut back, and all these bombings of these food processing plants, and with the weather, you know, weapons, they can create an extended drought in the Central Valley of California, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Doing it right now. Yeah.
Yeah. They can force starvation, on large segments of the world through a variety of means, but certainly the weather warfare is a big one. And they seem to be moving in that direction. And, you know, God help us, we have to become aware of these things, and hopefully on an individual level and a community level, as self-sufficient as possible, because obviously our government is captured and occupied by people without who do not have our best interests at heart. In fact, they're doing everything they can to destroy our country. So food is so basic, water is basic. We have to start paying attention and turn off television and pay attention to the realities of survival now.
Well, the real reality for most people who are commercial television addicts, or they're habituated to watch it, that's their reality, as all of you know by now. That's their reality. That becomes their general reference point to determine what's real on this planet, what they have seen on TV. Okay? That's their reality. That's the biggest incredible trap I've ever seen, to dupe people. It's so easy to do it, and they've done it. They've done it masterfully. This goes back to Bernays, who told people breakfast is the most important meal of the day. That's where that came from. People didn't eat breakfast before that very much. Then he said, no, you got to have bacon and eggs. Bacon and eggs for breakfast, the great American breakfast. All created mass mind control, all of it, just by repetition.
Yes, yeah. Of course, yeah, the nephew of Sigmund Freud, you know, the father of psychoanalysis, which is a scam and a ripoff. And of course, it was in his self-interest not to cure his patients, because then they'd keep paying him money. And when he left town for vacation, he would tell his partner, C.J. Jung, one of the other original psychos, hey, don't cure my patients, because I want to have them when I come back from vacation.
Is that is that a real anecdote? We've heard this before.
Yes.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, the man was totally sick. I mean, he was. He was Jewish. He was all into, you know, with the Oedipus complex, you know, the son having sex with the mother and all this. I mean, this is coming from a very, very dysfunctional worldview, which is Judaism and the Talmud and whatnot. I mean, it's built into the Talmud to have sex with children. And, you know, it says many, many times it's okay to have sex with a three-year-old little girl and a boy of 8 or 9 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the rabbis do it regularly. And so, you know, as we've all become Jewish in this culture, as Christianity has been weakened and assaulted as it is now, as we've all become more Jewish, then this disease of pedophilia become, you know, rampant. And I have to mention this, Jeff, because it's so important. When you talk about the mind control, you know, the Illuminati, you know, secret society of the Jews, very, very powerful. They developed mind control techniques that, of course, go back to the Egyptian Book of the Dead and Babylon and whatnot. But then the Nazis perfected that in the concentration camps. Those Nazis came to the United States, and then all this was perfected more under the MKUltra of the CIA. But the basis of the whole thing of splitting the personality into fragments, which can then be programmed to turn the human into a biocomputer and put amnesia barriers between the different files, which would be the subpersonalities, and each one of the personalities would be trained up to do this, that, or the other, and then obey the programmer or the handler. But the whole basis of that, the greatest trauma, is all trauma-based mind control. The greatest trauma of all to the brain is when you're a child less than 6 or 5, and you're being raped. You know, and of course, if you're over six and you have a tremendous trauma, what you get is PTSD, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder or shell shock. If you're younger than six, then in order to survive, the child dissociates. And actually, the mind leaves the body. And that's to survive. It's a survival mechanism. Without it, the child would die. But, of course, these Illuminati, Nazis, CIA have figured out that in that 20 minutes or 20 seconds or whatever it is, they can get in there and they can split the personalities and name it, program it. And, you know, you can set up a structure of different programmable personalities in a child. And they do this, of course, over a period of time with trauma. You know, with hundreds of personalities, and then they become your sex slaves, your mentoring candidate, your careers, etc. And this then is, again, the most traumatic thing that can happen to a human brain. And look what's happening now across our society. These pedophiles who are destroying our society are destroying the individuals that they're raping and turning them probably into future pedophiles.
Destroyed for life. Okay,
it's exponential. It's an exponential destruction of society. And it makes these individuals highly dissociative, which means that they can be much more easily programmed and controlled. And so from the point of view of the Satanists, this is a win-win-win because, you know, they're sadists. They enjoy inflicting pain, I guess, although some perhaps think it's, you know, pleasurable on a different level. I don't know. But it's despicable no matter what. But for the child, of course, it's tremendously traumatic. And this is the fundamental basis of mind control. So if you want a mind-controlled slave population, just keep supporting these, you know, BTLG, whatever, pedophiles. This is who's taken over our society, these Satanists. And this is one of their prime weapons is pedophilia, rape of children.
I'm
sure you know that, but I wanted to get that across to them.
No, that's good. Thank you for that. That's very important. Did you see the video of the so-called Pride Parade in Seattle, downtown Seattle?
No, I didn't.
It was full of pedophiles, males, a few women, and all the males were 100% naked. And they were riding bicycles, going side to side across the street, coming up right next to the parade attendees with their little children, these fat, white, Caucasian women and their little children, and these naked men, adult men, right there on their bikes. Sickening, beyond measure. You don't do that to children. That's trauma-based mind control right there, even though it's slow. It's a slow burn.
Yeah, you're normalizing it. But, you know, I would have to look at these individuals as possessed. I mean, beyond reprobate mind. I mean, you know, they talk in Christianity, you know, I mean, there's kind of at a certain threshold, you might kind of consider it a line where an individual reaches the point where they have a reprobate mind and it's lost. God can't get in there anymore. It's a goner. And of course, that's when demons can possess the individual and probably do. And this is probably very, very, very prevalent. So again, going back to this idea that many of the stalkers are members of interlocking satanic cults, they have as individuals, they've crossed that line. It's like turning back. These people cannot be saved. They can't be salvaged. I'm not a real authority on this. You know, I guess everybody can be salvaged, but from what I understand, and it's in the Bible too. God gives them over to a reprobate mind, and then it's over. They're going to hell, and you know they're taking our society to hell with them, and that's what's so sickening, so sad, and that our It's insane.
It is. Well done. Thank you, Eric, Professor Eric Carlstrom. We'll talk again soon. This is really a horror show. And I just can hardly believe some of the things I see. It's just that amazing.
Well, awful. Hang on, my friend. We'll just do our best.
Right. Okay. Thanks. We'll talk soon, Eric. Thank you very much. All right. Okay, that's it on this Friday night. Have a good weekend. Still time to do a little preparing. I hope you can do that. Thanks very much for being here, and we will talk soon. Take care.